Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
I'm Chinee Ogwumike.
I'm Lisa Leslie, and we're very excited to tell you about our new podcast with Blue Wire, Front and Center.
Lisa and I are breaking down what's going on in our lives, in the world, and keeping it 100.
We're also learning from amazing guests as well, like Emmanuel Acho.
People that show love to me, I forever got their back.
Vivica A. Fox.
If the foundation isn't right, then the rest of it's going to go wrong from there.
And more.
Subscribe to Front and Center today.
Blue Wire.
Breaking news, LeBron is a Laker.
Here comes LBJ!
This Clippers team will win a championship this year.
Paul George, corner three.
Yes, sir!
Bryant has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! He banks in the three! And the Lakers win the game!
What's good, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Battle for LA podcast, part of the Clutch Points and Blue Wire Networks. As usual, Tomer Zarli, your Clutch Points host for the podcast. I've got a special guest today. A few weeks ago, I would have said two-time champion. Today, I am saying three-time champion. Danny Green, Green Ranger of the Los Angeles Lakers, joining me today. Danny, thank you very much. I appreciate you taking the time.
No, thank you, man. I appreciate you having me, man. It's always great to catch up.
How's everything with you? How have the last couple of weeks been for you since winning the title? Obviously, I'm sure it's been just a storm of things coming through.
Yeah, I mean, you know how, I mean, I guess some people know how it is. I've been fortunate enough to experience some other ones, but when you win, it's a short off season, a lot of obligations, but luckily, thankfully for us, there's a pandemic going on. So a lot of them are virtual. So it's virtual obligations and a lot of over the phone and Zoom calls and, you know, podcasts via, you know, FaceTime and all that type of stuff. So things have been cool, man. It's been smooth. It's not as hectic as it normally would be because the pandemic is going on, but I'm not complaining about it, I'll tell you that.
What's life as a three-time NBA champion now? I mean, you've done it with three different teams. You're one of four players to do it along with LeBron. Like, what is that like? You're on a historic pace here.
I said I've been lucky, man. Right now, life right now is very relaxed, trying to relax. So it's calming. It's good to be out the bubble. It's good to get, you know, your mind in a good, you know, space. So I'm going to get a frame of mind right now, but just relaxing, man, trying to enjoy the time off as much as I can because it looks like we might not have that much time off.
Well, before we get into the next season, which I do want to get to, there was a lot of asterisk talk about this bubble regarding who won and how they won. I'm curious for you because you were there from the start to the finish, you know, for the very first day, the very last day. Was this the toughest championship, you know, you've had yet?
For sure. And I've said this over and over a number of times to everybody that has asked me. Should be asterisks because of how hard it is, not because it was easier. But this one by far was the most mentally and emotionally challenging being in that space. And what we've gone through all year, ups and downs, the roller coaster was unreal. Of the people that we lost and the breaks that we had to take, the time off, the stops, the restarts, China, so many different things, and how long the season was instead of being in a bubble. There's no doubt about it in my mind that this is definitely the toughest one to be a part of.
So what was it like when you guys finally got out of there? I know when you were going to the locker room, one of the first things you said was, we're free, we're free. Yeah. What was it like to finally get out, get off that plane, be in LA, be in, not in the bubble, I guess?
It was a relief, man, a big relief to be able to, you know, take in some fresh air, some different air, and be back home, you know, see my dogs. You know, I'm not too far from the beach, so Yeah, man, it was just a breath of fresh air and a big relief.
Being in the bubble, I mean, there's a lot. There's not a lot to do. You guys were on social media a lot. I mean, there's only so much you could do 3 months in. And you talked about how it was sort of a dark time for you, especially because of some of the hate and the death threats you got. If you're willing to open up on it, just, I guess, what was that time like for you and how did you get through that? Because social media can be a sort of dark place during that, something like that.
For sure. I don't like to use the term, you know, it was a dark time for me or a dark place. You know, that's never my thing. I don't look at things in a negative context or in a negative light. I always try to find the positives. I do say it was tough. It wasn't easy. But so being in LA for, you know, some months previous to being in the bubble and being a part of the Lakers organization, I know what comes with it. And I knew what came with it throughout those months. I was kind of used to the criticisms and things like that. But when you're the only sport that's playing at one point and everything's focused on you guys in basketball, everything is more magnified. So it was tough, man. It was a tough situation. It was tough times. It wasn't easy being in that area, being in that scenario. But now we've gotten used to it. We got adapted to it a little bit. So it happens again. Obviously, we know how to operate in it. But hopefully it doesn't happen again. But yeah, man, it just wasn't easy. It was tough. And, you know, it's a lot of stuff that I don't take seriously. It's not the first time I've gotten threats or criticism. I've gotten threats before and I've gotten criticism in every city I played in. It's a part of the game. It's what comes with the territory. So, you know, just take it for what it is. Block out the noise. Block the accounts that are fake people trying to, you know, message you, whatever. Ignore, you know, everything else. Try to stay off of social media. Try to stay off of, you know, sports channels and basketball talk, and try to escape as best you can while you're in there and stay fresh so that when you do play the game, you know, you're not burnt out. But yeah, man, it was just a tough time.
Was it tough for you to adjust when you first came into the league to that kind of stuff happening on social media?
When I first came to the league, we didn't have social media like that. So I was lucky enough. I'm not that old, but there was no Instagram. There was no, it might've been Twitter.
Right.
That was 12 years ago. So, you know, Instagram, like 08, I didn't have Instagram until like my fourth or fifth year into the league. Twitter, same. I didn't get Twitter till, you know, I guess from being overseas, Twitter was out, but it wasn't, you know, I wasn't on it like that. It wasn't that big. Mm-hmm. Instagram wasn't out yet. And so the camera phones, of course, we had camera phones, but things weren't blasted as much on social media as it was until halfway through my career, about 5-6 years in, and everything was social media. Everything, news traveled via Twitter, Instagram. So I was able to, you know, experience a little bit of the league without it. Not fully without it, but, you know, and obviously being in other markets, experiencing the growth of it, you know, you get used to it. So I said more than half my career, I've been, you know, criticized on social media. So I'm kind of used to it. And obviously for the most of the year here, I've been criticized here before the bubble. So it's something that, you know, it doesn't faze me anymore.
Now you guys partied pretty hard that night, it looked like, and probably the next few nights as well. Who partied the hardest? And then a follow-up to that is, did you guys really forget Quinn Cook?
I don't think they said we did, but I don't think we did. He was at the hotel pretty quickly. I think he was messing around from the story I heard. But yeah, I'd have to give MVP celebration to probably JR, Keith. There's a couple guys that party pretty hard. You know, we had a good time in Vegas, Kuz, Dwight. You know, they have some fun, man. So we have a team full of some guys who are veterans who have been in this league for a while and got a chance to experience their first championship. And, you know, rightfully so, they celebrated the way they should.
I mean, when you go throughout that run, you know, obviously you guys lost, I believe, game six. Miami, Jimmy five. Butler played his ass up. Game five, you won game six. What was the mentality going into that game six? Because you guys blew him out of the water. But there was a lot of talk about, oh, Miami can make a comeback now, you know, 3-1, all this.
I mean, you know how the media goes, man. They take any little small thing they can and try to make a run with it, you know, make a headline. And every game, if you win, you're heroes. If you lose, you know, you're the worst. Your scapegoats. You're, you know, the worst team in the world. You're the best team in the world when you win one. But obviously, you know, every game is a wake-up call. But our approach is no different than any other approach after a loss. It's to bounce back and win, whether it's the same team or a different team. We want to play better. We make the proper adjustments and do better. Luckily, in the playoffs, you get to play the same team over and over, so you can kind of learn them and adjust to them with the next game. So we always had that approach. We don't want to lose two games in a row. We want to come out, obviously be better. And we knew we didn't play a great game, game five. It shouldn't, you know, have come down to the last shot. But with all that being said, we played, they played really pretty well, and we didn't play that good. And, you know, we were still in striking distance, which was a good sign. So we looked at it in a positive, and so we just wanted to bounce back like we always do.
Hey guys, wanted to pause real quick to tell you guys about Indeed. Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. And Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost their job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer is valid through December 31st. Jared Dudley made some comments after saying that you guys laughed when the Clippers blew their 3-1 lead. Oh, you laughed right there. When the Clippers blew their 3-1
lead. You know, Duds is a character, man. You know, obviously, he's going to speak his mind. And I'm sure, you know, we wanted that matchup for sure. I think everybody was just in shock. You know, everybody was just looking ahead and thinking that these teams supposed to be there, this team's supposed to be there. And I think they were so worried about everything else going on, everything that we were doing, that they're not focused on themselves. So I guess in the sense that it was just kind of ironic in that sense. I don't think we were, you know, literally laughing. I mean, it was kind of like, whoa, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, because
more of a how shocking
much,
laugh.
For sure. And it was more because of how much talk they had throughout the years or throughout the year. How much they've been bigged up in the city, and how much the rivalry here. Whenever the teams are good here, they're going to be back and forth. It was just interesting and shocking to us, but I guess a shocking laugh to a sense. Yeah.
So I guess, where were you when you guys were watching the game, and just I guess all that fell apart and that happened?
In the bubble, man. Some of us, I mean, ain't much of a place to go. I mean, some people have a lounge. Some guys watch together. We watch it in our room. But I said it's just different because in a bubble experience, in a game seven, I don't think Denver might beat them, but in a blowout, I don't think that happens. So, you know, for them to lose the way they did lose, I said it was a shock, but it was just ironic. That's why it was more of a laughable thing. It was more of an irony laugh than like, it's like, oh shit, you know, we never expected this to happen. Nobody expected this to happen, but it wasn't like, oh, you know, you guys are not good laugh. You know what I'm saying? Or you guys,
yeah,
you know, stunk it up. You know, it's just, I mean, a lot of scenarios, man, where, you know, things happen and things didn't turn out well for certain people and certain teams. So it was unfortunate for them, but yeah, it was a shock to us just as much as the world, and just ironic because of how, you know, the stars lined for this hell of a playoff series for everybody, for us to play them and for the world to watch. I can't recall last time they had a Lakers-Clippers playoff series.
I don't think they ever did.
So this would have been the first time that ever, yeah. Especially with the teams at the level that they're at of talent-wise. So this is what the world has been waiting for. This is what all of California has probably been waiting for. And for the stars to align that way, for it to come up short and not happen again. So it was just very ironic.
From a personal perspective, I mean, you played your entire career with Kawhi up until this year. Were you looking forward to that matchup? A lot of, I guess, bragging rights among each other?
It's not a Kawhi matchup. You know, he's still a brother. He's still family. You know, we've gone through so many battles. Obviously, when we're on the court, we're competing. So he's a competitor, but it was more of a team matchups. Kawhi's not the one to talk. He doesn't talk trash like that. He doesn't talk shit like that. He's not like, oh, you know, he goes out and does his business, handles business the way he's supposed to. But, you know, it's the other guys around him that probably do a lot more of the barking and you know, the wolf talk. So that's why I think in the city, and it's a lot of the fans. So I think that's why the matchup we wanted, and they wanted as well, said the world wanted to see, because I said because of the noise, or because of some of the trash talking, because of how much they, some of the guys talked themselves up or thought they were going to be champions. And so we were counted out numerous times by everybody. Everybody thought that they were better than us. And so it's just ironic how it ended for them, cut shortly before they can even get to us.
How much bulletin board material did you guys have? Do you guys have that kind of thing?
Some, not, you mean like in the city?
Well, I mean, just amongst yourself, you said people were counting you guys out. People were penning the Clippers in for the finals. They were penning Clippers Bucks, stuff like that.
I mean, you see, there's viral clips, 2-minute, clips of everybody saying, we got the Clippers better than, or, the Lakers not have enough, Lakers going to lose, or the Clippers are better than we have the Clippers above. Oh, I have the Clippers winning it all. I have the Clippers winning it, the finals or going to the finals. There's a bunch of clips throughout the whole year from, players to analysts to, everybody that has a voice has been, banking on the Clippers. So, yeah, man, it's just interesting to see and revert back and actually see them again. But we've heard it all year, and we've always – I don't mind being underdog. I actually prefer to be the underdog and flying under the radar. But it's hard to fly under the radar when you have LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and you're in Los Angeles. But to be the underdog in the city was how we wanted it to be. And said we had the choice. We would definitely have loved to play them in a 7-game series.
You mentioned LeBron and AD. But for AD, how have you seen him develop from the start of the year, an unproven playoff guy, to the end of the year, now champion?
Unbelievable, man. His growth as a player, just mentally, IQ-wise, maturity on the floor, and just adapt and adjust in each game. You can see where his mistakes are because he's a force. He's an unguardable guy in my eyes, because he's too big for smaller guys, fours, and too quick for five and can shoot it from outside. So when you have all that skill set and you just know how to attack it the right way, he sees how they're doubling him or they're – and him making the adjustments because he hasn't been doubled like that before, I don't think. His first time with this type of attention, especially in the post, because he never was like a post guy. But to see him adapt and adjust and enforce his will on the game was unbelievable to see. And I just love to see that his growth was amazing.
You played with, rookie year LeBron. Your rookie year LeBron. Mm-hmm. You played against him in the finals back-to-back years in 13 and 14. Now you play with him this year. Mm-hmm. Which is the best LeBron that you've seen? And I guess how has he developed over the years? I mean, I know it's a lot, but how has he developed?
That's a tough question, man, because you see a best LeBron damn near every year. it seems like he gets better and better. But obviously in his prime, when he was, still explosive now, but when he was at his highest level of explosiveness, he had some great years in Miami. He had a great year in Cleveland. But obviously, this is the best LeBron to me because it's the first chance I got a chance to play with him actually on the court. As a rookie, I didn't play much. So to play with him and be a part of a championship with him, this is the version. Of course, I would love him. I think it's the best because I got a chance to experience it. And we actually won together. I'll say I hated the other better versions of LeBron. We played against them in Miami because he was fucking killing us. So 2013, he was killing us. Even 2014, even though we won 4-1, it was not an easy task, was not an easy road. So I've seen many versions of LeBron, but the one that's my favorite is the one of me being a part of the team that he won a championship in this one.
How is obviously there's no parade but the parting from last year's Raptors where you won for an entire country, compared to this year's parting for as a team, I guess, because you can't have a parade yet, how is that compared? How's that been different?
It's hard. It's hard to say that. I have to give you that comparison after the parade, if we ever have one. But, obviously the country of Canada is amazing. The Canadians are great. City of Toronto was unbelievable. Never experienced before. Obviously, LA has experienced it 16 times before this one. So I wouldn't say they're spoiled, but along the lines. But still, they are celebrating and enjoying this one like it's their first one. And because, Lakers are, America's team, damn near. It seems like we're winning it for a whole country as well, like our country, because it seems like a lot of Lakers fans throughout the whole nation.
Yeah.
I said it's hard to give you that comparison until we have a parade, but I think they're very similar because of how many Lakers fans are throughout the country.
I realize this might be a tough question for you, given where you went to college, but is LeBron the GOAT after 4 rings, 3 different teams?
I don't like to do those talks. I like to do, I like to spell GOAT differently, the greatest of their era. So GOTE, I think those guys all greatest of their eras. You know what I'm saying? I don't like to, because a lot of guys play different positions. A lot of guys, you know, they're all ahead of their time. And I appreciate each and every one of them, especially the ones that I'm a part of and be able to see up close and play with. Obviously, Mike, I was a youngin'. I was a kid. Still idolize him. And obviously there, he's still God. But as a youngin', you know, get a chance to watch him up close. You don't get a chance to see. All you see is, you know, the greatness. You don't see any of the mistakes. So I try to do the same thing as a kid. I don't try to see any mistakes in these great guys, these guys that are great players. I try to just see, you know, the great plays that they do and how well they do things, how efficiently they do things. So yeah, I don't do the GOAT talks. I do the GOTE talks, you know, the greatest of their era. And there's a lot of those guys out there.
Are you a believer in one who should, I guess, we should be doing more appreciating than in comparing, I guess? I feel like we've gotten too caught up in the
definitely
comparing talks.
For sure. And obviously it's great. It's great for barbershop talk. It's great for, but to, like, and I have these talks all the time. It's fun. You know, like I talk to my boys, oh, you think you can, you know, beat up Floyd in a fight? Like, it'll never happen. You know what I mean? Like, so
right.
These things will never happen. These matchups will never happen. Because they're like, oh, you know, Floyd's only this size. Because they see him, they're like, oh, he's so small. You know what I'm saying? So you got hands, he'll beat the hell out of you. But you know what I'm saying? So certain comparisons of like, oh, if you did this, would that hurt to this person? Or can you think you could beat this person? You know, possibly any given day, somebody could lose in a fight. Somebody could lose in a shooting. Somebody could lose on the field. Somebody could lose in a race. But, you know, how likely that those possibilities are, very slim to none. And slim is out the door damn near. So you're never going to see some of these greats match up against each other. You're never going to, you know unless you see them, you know, play against each other, which won't happen. But it's good to have those talks, you know, to compare a little bit to see who has what. I'm obviously some, there's always guys going to be better in other areas than others. But it doesn't take away from their greatness and how good they are. So it's just good to have those. It's fun to have the barbershop talks, the fun with your homeboys and compare and see who has what, who's better at what. But at the end of the day, they're all greats. And that's why we're talking about them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so yeah, I'm the one of the guys that I like to appreciate and give the respect to everybody, because, you know, everybody thinks there's a reason why everybody's here. There's a reason why everybody's in their position. The reason why everybody's right. In NBA, NFL, mm-hmm. MLB. So certain guys, they look at guys and they're like, oh, that guy's a bum or he's not good. I'm like, you might want to retract that statement. You know, these guys are professionals at what they do, and you couldn't do half of what they do in their position. So, yeah, I like to appreciate everybody at their craft, man. I respect everybody, everybody's greatness and what they do.
When you guys went through that, the stoppage with the Bucks striking against that game, you guys all came together and didn't play. Was there a legitimate concern that you guys would walk away from that?
I wouldn't say concerned. We're never concerned or worried. You know, guys in this league have been around long enough. And most guys have made their money and been okay. Obviously, we love the game of basketball. We know there's always a way to figure out something else. We can make something happen. So we were just more aware and just figuring out, you know, I wouldn't say concerned or worried, but we knew at the end of the day, we're going to have to do what we need to do to get change. And that doesn't concern or worry us. The concern or worry is what's going on outside of basketball, outside of the bubble, in our communities, in our families, with our people. So playing basketball or not playing basketball is never really a concern. It doesn't really worry us. But yeah, it would obviously take away some young kids' dreams and some of our dreams of playing the game as a job, which is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But I said, we always find a way to play basketball again. You know, there's going to be courts, places, there's going to be gyms. You know, if we really want to play, we'll find it. But we can't assume that there's always going to be a place for our communities and our people to be safe. You know, so that's the biggest concern.
Did you feel like, obviously the job's not done in terms of pushing for social change, but did you guys feel like you accomplished what you wanted to in the bubble in terms of social justice?
For the most part, we obviously wanted to do more. It's hard to do more when you're playing every other day. We're not able to talk, especially when you're competing against each other. We're not able to talk as much as we'd like to. But with the short time span of the shutdown to the restart of, again, in the bubble, I think we got some good things on the table and some good things in the works, which was a win for us to be able to get some of those things done or some of those things on the table in conversations or things worked on in the span of 2 days. You can't beat that. So that's why we went back to work. Because we're like, you know what? We got things we wanted to get some things done to make some change, obviously. We obviously want more. There's still not justice being done for, you know, some of these families. But, you know, we see changes happening. So, you know, we can go back to playing. And I think using our platform here was the smartest way for us to be together as a united front and to continue to keep those names and awareness alive of what's going on around in our communities.
You mentioned this earlier. There are reports that the next season is scheduled to start for now, unless until the union agrees, scheduled to start December 22nd with training camp beginning December 1st. I guess first, what are your thoughts on that? And what are your thoughts on that? We'll go with that first.
I mean, obviously, the teams that went to the finals, our thoughts are, holy shit. You know what I'm saying? That's a quick turnaround. And obviously, I made a joke about it. You've seen this going viral in the last interview. You know, people take everything so serious that I don't think everything is, of course, I don't think LeBron's going to. No, our team, we have an old team. A lot of our team would prefer not to start that early. You know, a lot of our team, it was a joke that a lot of our team would not show up, you know, for training camp and be late. But obviously, we got a job to do. We're going to do our job. If we need to show up, then we'll show up. We do what we need to do. But if we had a preference or we had suggestions to the league or whatever, we would suggest to start later. We would prefer to not start on that date because it would be tough on our, not just our bodies, but our minds. And, you know, a lot of these guys obviously want to maximize on, the league wants to maximize on the dollar and, you know, TV time. And also when it's safe for people to go into arenas, if they can save going to arenas, cool. I don't know if it'll be safe by then. But at the same time, you know, we don't want to lose our careers by turning that too quick of a turnaround. Cause you get that quick of a turnaround and your body, especially guys, you're 16, you're 18 for LeBron. You know, some guys 16, 17, some guys 13, 14. That quick of a turnaround, not just on your mind, but body could break down. And that could be a career ending thing if you're trying to, you know, do too much within a year. So we just be mindful as it. I made a joke, you know, headlines added a whole interview was, you know, I think that we're not going to show up. You know, say we're not going to be there.
Yeah, in case you missed it, Danny said that, I guess, he said, doesn't think LeBron, well, no, it doesn't think. You said guys like LeBron might not show up for the first month of the new season.
Yeah, it's like I said, well, some guys probably won't be there. I said, I'm not. They said, if you guys start 22nd, I said, I'm not going to be there. But it was just a joke. Okay. And I mean, obviously, I'll be at training camp. I always show up to work. I don't miss many games. I don't miss any practices. And same with all my teammates. But, yeah, I think a lot of guys would prefer not to be during that time. I made the joke and went viral saying that I don't think that I'm not going to be there. I won't show up. And everybody's like, you know, well, you're not relevant anyway. You don't need to be there. You get you get paid enough money to show up. I can't believe you're complaining. There's people over here in the military over here. I get that. I'm not complaining. It's a joke. One, two. We will show up, but we just prefer to start later, obviously, for mental, emotional, and physical reasons. We would like to be fresher.
You heard it here first. Danny Green will show up to training camp, as will everyone else. Hey, guys, wanted to tell you guys about BetOnline real quick. As you know, football is back in full swing, and while you might not be at a game this year, you still can be in on all the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on all their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Just head over to BetOnline today to take advantage of all their great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. I'm curious, do you feel like the December start date is feasible in terms of getting the NBA back on track towards the, you know, October or September to June?
Yeah, season? I mean, we've done that before. You know, it's not like when the lockout happened last time, we started in December. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember, we did 66 games, I think. Yeah, I remember because as San Antonio Spurs, we celebrated that year because I think we still won 50 games in 66. I think it was like we were – so it was an accomplishment for us. We had a lot of fun. I think we made it to the final. We didn't make the finals that year. I think it was OKC maybe. But we did 66 games. We had the playoffs and ended right on time. I don't know if they'll do it that way. I still think it's still feasible to do. Not ending right on time, but we can end at a pretty good time or date, even if it starts in January. But yeah, if they start in December, which everybody, they want the Christmas game. They love the Christmas game. Everybody wants that. Plenty of time to finish the season in time and have, I guess, the Olympics or whatever else, and guys get back on track and have a summers to themselves, because it's a weird offseason that we have, you know, fall and winter right now. But right. I'm going to enjoy it regardless. You know, I'm going to be, we find the kids. It's first time anybody wants to go, you know, south of the border or South America and experience the summer there, you know, that type of deal. So, but yeah, I think they want to get back on track because of the Olympics and, you know, get our schedule back to where it was before. And that can happen regardless of when we start. It's just going to take some time.
So ideally, when would you prefer to start, and how many regular season games do you think should be played, I guess, to give everyone ample rest and give time between playoffs and Olympics?
Well, it depends on when they want to end. But I think ideally most guys would rather start after, you know, in 2021, so after the new year in January. I think that's good enough rest. I'm sure a lot of guys would like start end of January or February. But even if you said you start then, I think it depends on when you want to end. I think you could still get 70 games, you know, so I think that would be ideal. Then you get, you know, they probably do without maybe one or two preseason games instead of six, you know, probably two preseason games, maybe three scrimmages or so.
NFL.
Yeah, and then get right to it. And then, you know, I don't know how they'll do series, playoff series. So it all depends also on if we do a bubble or not again. If
well, I was going to ask that.
Or multiple bubbles, we don't know. So if the arena's open or not. But I think guys prefer to play in front of fans and be back in their arenas and in their home cities. But there's a lot of variables that come into play when it comes to that type of decision.
Yeah, I was going to mention that next. Do you think a bubble format, I guess, would work for you guys? Would you be open for that?
Open? I mean, we've done it already, so it's not like...
Well, it's tough to stay away from family for that long. So, I mean, if you can, you know, say I prefer not to.
It's, of course. I mean, we prefer not to before this bubble, but it's not like we're not going to do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're open to anything to get to play, obviously, and to work. But obviously, when you have a job, you prefer, I prefer to work over here. I prefer to work in this office instead of a cubicle. I prefer, you know, up top and instead of in the basement. You know what I'm saying? But doesn't mean you're going to get it. But you're open to working wherever, you know, that's just how it is. So yeah, we're open to it. Is it ideal? No, but you know, if we have to do it again, we'll do it again. We would like to be set back in our arenas with our fans. But I said, I don't make the decisions on my calls above my pay grade, but you know, we only can put in our suggestions of what we'd like to do and what we prefer, but doesn't mean we're going to get that.
Got a couple more for you real quick. Looking back at your titles, 2014, 2019, 2020. Which one is your, if you can pick one, your favorite? And if you can't, I guess, what was the biggest challenge in each one of those runs?
You can't, I can't, man. You know, that's like saying, you know, pick, you have three kids, pick your favorite child. You know, you love them all, but you'll love them all differently. Obviously, some are better than others, some more disciplined, some have a little more trouble in school, some maybe a little more street smart. But you love them all for their personalities and how they, you know, came about and who they are. What was your second part of your question?
I guess the most challenging part of each run, you know, for you.
Well, obviously, this one was the most challenging overall, and obviously, the challenging part of being in a bubble, in a pandemic, being away from family, being away from dogs, being away from fiance for 2 months, that type of deal. 2014, the toughest part about that is because the journey, the road. It was a 2-year journey to get that because we lost in 2013 and the 2014 year was a tough ass year. Just especially, you know, Pop, we prepared every game like playing for Miami and you know, Pop was tough on us that year, if rightfully so. You know, we're trying to get back to that point. So 2013 going all the way that way, especially as a youngin, you've never gone that far, play that long of a season and have a quick turnaround 2014. I think that's the hardest thing is for teams to go back to back because of how short the offseason is and how many obligations you have and just trying to stay mentally locked in for another year of doing it again and going that far. So going back to back years in the finals is mentally draining, but I've been lose 2013, short offseason of hell because, you know, you're just thinking about that shot. So many things could have changed if Ray Allen doesn't hit that shot, you know. So many different outcomes, so many different in your favor, so many, you could add another ring. You know, I could have been, and you know, other things could have been added to the resume. You never know. I could have been, you know, finals MVP. You know, there's so many things that could have came across the board from that happen. So having to think about that the whole summer, even though it was a short summer, and having to work out with that chip on your shoulder and that on your mind, and that whole year trying to get back there and prepare for it, made that route, you know, very tough. And that's what made it the most challenging. of you know losing and then coming back, and obviously sweet, bitter. You know, it was sweet to get the victory, but sweet because we had a chance to play against a team that we lost to the previous year. So we got lucky to have the opportunity again. So that was a tough road. And now 5 years later, you know, it took 5 years to get back, and then obviously being traded and being in another country, being in another new city, after having a groin injury. So that's what made it challenging. Obviously, in the East, people say it's the Eastern Conference was weak, but it wasn't that. It wasn't that weak. You know, I think it wasn't weak at all. We had some battles, man. We had 7 games with Philly, 6 games with Milwaukee. We were down 0-2. We lost the first game in Orlando. You know, we had some tough battles, man. Even Golden State, with them being injured and hurt, won 6 games. You know, it was every game. Try to win Game 5. Every game was a battle, and it was tough, man. So. Very challenging, man, to going through that process of those years. And this one, of course, the bubble. So they're all very hard to do, but I can't pick one as a favorite. I love them all. And they're all just unique and different in their ways. And I'm going to continue to remember the great things about them and obviously remember how tough it was to get them.
Would you have won Finals MVP that year? Because I think you set the record for 3-pointers in the finals.
You never know. I don't know. I'm just saying if he doesn't – we obviously would get a ring. That's the main thing that was on my mind. You know, so many things thinking about that and so many different outcomes. But us getting a ring, there's so many other things that could have been added to, you know, our guys' individual accolades. Timmy, right. Tony, yeah. They could have been, you know, another ring for them. You know, who knows could have been, you know, Tim at the time, Kawhi wasn't emerging as an MVP. But there's so many other guys that played well that could have been a possibility. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That could have been a different storybook, you know, different storybook for me if I, that, you know, what kind of route that goes, you know, but you never know. I said, I don't know, it was a possibility. But because of that one shot, it changed the whole outcome of everything, you know? So
that's wild. That's so wild.
That could change a guy's career. It could change a guy's life. You know what I'm saying? Like some guys in Miami could have changed their, you know what I'm saying? You never know. Changed some of our guys on our San Antonio careers. Some guys that are on our team that year in 2013 didn't get a chance to experience in 2014, you know? Right. So, yeah.
What's, I guess, final one for you is what's the key going to be for you guys to repeat? Obviously you guys make moves and all that, but what's the key for you guys to repeat?
I think just getting everybody back is going to be the toughest part and keeping everybody healthy, mentally more so, physically, mentally, emotionally. If we can get everybody back and guys can stay fresh, if we depend on when the restart is and we can, you know, stay locked in, I think we'll be okay because we're just starting to scratch this. I think we're just starting to reach our potential. I think we can still be better. We can still be great. We can still be better than we played this year. We had great moments. But I think because we have so many different, we have so much talent. We have so much depth. It was hard for the coaching staff to, you know, figure out whose minutes, whose plays for some people. It was only one basketball. Right. So we're all just getting used to it. And sometimes that takes a year. So for us to win a championship without us not really having the, you know, the greatest feel for each other to start or throughout the whole series or throughout the whole season is amazing. So if we get a second year with it, with this group, we know our roles, we know each other's, you know, mannerisms and we know each other's thought process and IQ and what spots they like, you know, so it'd be a lot easier for everyone to adjust to that. And we know how to be efficient in our roles, even more efficient, which would only make us a better team. So toughest task is really on RP and Coach Vogel figuring out how to get guys back and how to, you know, keep the system going to keep everybody mentally and emotionally fresh.
Playoff Rondo is a real thing, huh?
Oh, for sure. I mean, shit, Rondo is a real thing. He plays, you know, this is tough because so we have so many guys. We have Avery. Avery didn't decide to go to bubble, but that doesn't happen. You split in minutes, Avery, AC, Doe, it's hard to get a rhythm. There's so many guys playing and playing well. Doe wasn't able to do that throughout the season because of his limited minutes, limited time, also injuries he had. So, you know, obviously he got the opportunity and he's great. He's always been great. He's great at what he does and he's got the, you know, the rhythm and time to do it. So, you know, he just picked up full steam. You know, he obviously had an injury in the bubble too. Imagine if he didn't have an injury, but he was fresh. You know, he hadn't been there the whole time, so it kept him mentally fresh. Mm-hmm. And you know, he got to it the way he needed to, and he just picked up steam and kept the ball rolling for us for himself. So, you know, he's amazing, man. He's good at what he does, man. He's a guy that we all love and respect because of how smart he is. He's a basketball genius, and he knows all the angles of everything.
Who ended up winning that Madden tournament?
I think Quinn did. Quinn Cook, really? I'm not sure, but I think he's to my eyes, from my understanding, he's probably the best player by far for them. So it was easy to guess that. But I'm not sure. I'm not positive. I wasn't involved in the Madden tournament, but yeah.
Oh, you weren't? Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
All right, well, Danny, anything you want to plug before we let you go?
Nah, man, big shout out to you. Appreciate you having me on, man. Shout out to Inside the Green Room. Obviously, that's the podcast we have. We're doing a finale soon. Shout out to Call to the Booth. That's Harrison's new podcast he does with his football thing. Oh. And Keeb. So those guys are great, man. Big love to them. A big love to everybody around the city, man, the fans of L.A. Looking forward to seeing what happens with free agency, draft. Good luck to those guys. Also looking forward to seeing when we restart. So it's going to be interesting.
Well, Danny, thank you very much for joining us. Amjad, I also want to shout out to you. Thank you for making this happen. You guys can follow me at Tomer Azarly on Twitter and Instagram. That's TomerAzarly. Danny, where can they follow you?
Green Ranger 14. Obviously, Inside the Green Room on Instagram socials. But it's a big shout out to Jed as well, man. He's MVP of the bubble time because he's the one house sitting in the crib and getting everything in order and helped me clean the crib. You know, the last couple of days, it took about 2 or 3 days to get everything done. So big shout out to Amjad for that. But he also said, Green Ranger 14 and Inside the Green Room. On Twitter, it's Green Room Inside, but DGreen_14 on Twitter.
Hating hours are closed, guys. This guy's a champion. No hating hours. If you guys like the podcast, please leave us a 5-star review wherever you guys get your podcast, whether it's Apple, Google Play, Spotify, we're everywhere, iHeart as well. Any comments, questions, suggestions, or concerns, leave those for us as well. Open to hearing those. Hopefully looking to get Phil Handy on in a couple of weeks. We'll see if we get him on. But Danny, again, thank you very much. Congratulations on your third championship ring. Enjoy the offseason while it lasts. Yeah. I hope you get an extended rest, but we'll see. We'll see. Congratulations again.
Thank you, my man. Appreciate you.
All right, man. Thank you very much. See you guys next time.
Yep. Take it easy.